Volume 47, number 12 of the Friend magazine for December 2017. Contents. Stories and features. From the First Presidency, Christmas Peace by President Henry B. Eyring. A Sister's Gift. Family Night Fun. Friends with Heart. Gabriel's Cello. Answers from an Apostle. Elder Dale G. Renland. The Red Ticket. The Christmas List Surprise. The House of the Lord. Friend to Friend, Be Brave and Share by Elder Paul B. Piper. No Room in the Inn. Show and Tell. Matt and Mandy. Stop and Flip. For Older Kids, For Older Kids. Signs of Friendship. Snacks and Crafts, Christmas Workshop. The Christmas Eve Guest. Prayer at the Start Gate. Music, Make Room for Him. Things to Make and Do, Fun Stuff, Christmas Puzzles. Bright Idea, Fun Stuff, Find It. Share the Friend, Light the World. Church History Figures, The Church Today. And Friend Junior, For Parents of Little Ones, Away in a Manger, Skylar's Nativity, Counting Stars, Stories of Jesus, Jesus Was Born in Bethlehem, Coloring Page, and Warm Hands, Warm Heart. End of contents. Read by Wes Nelson. Building a Temple. Here's the finished Payson, Utah Temple. Thanks for joining us this year to see how it was built. Go to page 18 to see what happens after a temple is finished. How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or story, step 1, fill out the form below and send it in with your story or artwork. Step 2, send a school picture or other high-resolution photo. Step 3, we might edit your submission for length or clarity, and we can't return it to you. Step 4, you must be at least 3 years old. The Last Laugh. In this month's Last Laugh, a boy in his pajamas hides behind the Christmas tree with a mouthful of popcorn. Dad scratches his head and says,
"These popcorn strings were full last night."
End of this month's Building a Temple, read by Terrell Williams and Wes Nelson.
Friends by Mail, My Nativity Collage. When I saw the star on the front cover of the December 2016 Friend, I wanted to share it, so I decided to cut out pictures of the nativities and make my own. Sophie R., age 10, Oregon, USA.
A Tree for Travis. I liked that Jacqueline wanted to get a Christmas tree for Travis in the story, A Tree for Travis. This story reminds me to share with my siblings. Alex A., age 11, Washington, USA.
Building a Temple. I love seeing the pictures of the Payson, Utah Temple being built. It makes me want to go to every temple in the world and see how cool they are. The stained glass picture was my favorite. Dalton B., age 9, Alaska, USA.
Filling the World with Love. Here's what we did for Christmas. Samuel, Joshua, and Hope W., ages 8, 6, and 7, Utah, USA.
Dear friends, one reason we gave Christmas presents is to remember the gift of Heavenly Father and His Son. They love us so much, and we can show how much we love them by being kind to others. You are a gift to the world, too. Your life is a blessing to those around you. Thank you for being our friend. Happy Christmas, The Friend. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how.
End of Friends by Mail for December 2017. Read by Chloe and Enzo Patello, Merrick Straga, and Gabriel and Maya Reinwand.
From the First Presidency, Christmas Peace, by President Henry B. Eyring, First Counselor in the First Presidency. Every Christmas season I remember the words, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace," Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The first time I can remember hearing those words was as I sat in the balcony of the Salt Lake Tabernacle. A choir was singing the music of Handel, a musician who used scriptures about Jesus Christ in his music. I remember feeling something in my heart. It was the Holy Ghost. The Spirit confirmed, said something is true to my heart, that the words I heard sung that night were true. The baby born in Bethlehem long ago was and is the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. The feeling I had that night was of faith and hope. Because Jesus Christ was born, death would not be the end. Because of his birth, my heart, your heart, and all human hearts can become pure, clean, and fit to go to a heavenly home. Angels, shepherds, and wise men found peace in Jesus Christ. So will you. The Savior's birth is the gift that makes it possible for the Father to give us peace in this world and eternal life in the world to come. Doctrine and Covenants, section 59, verse 23. I pray that peace will come to each of us as we remember, love, and worship our Heavenly Father. May we always remember the service and kindness Jesus gave, and decide to do the same. Adapted from Gifts of Peace, Christmas Devotional, 2016. Let's give him a Handel. President Eyring talked about a beautiful piece of music called The Messiah by George Friedrich Handel. Handel's friend, Charles Jennens, used scriptures to write the words to the music. Here are some sentences from The Messiah. Can you fill in the blanks using the Bible verses below? Answers on page 39. Go to friend.lds.org during December to listen to a beautiful performance of The Messiah. Worshiping Christ. Like Handel, you can create something beautiful to show your love for Jesus. Look on the inside front cover to see how Sophie cut out pictures from a friend to create a collage of the Nativity. Show us what you can create. Hallelujah Chorus. For a chance to sing a line from Handel's Messiah called the Hallelujah Chorus, go to page 3 of this issue. End of the First Presidency Message, Christmas Peace, by President Henry B. Eyring, First Counselor in the First Presidency. Read by Dwayne Case.
A Sister's Gift by Jane McBride. Based on a true story. God loveth a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Emily looked out her window at the Arizona desert. Even the spiky plants and shrubs seemed gray and cold this Christmas. It was the end of 1908, a hard year for Emily's family. Her father was serving a 3-year mission in Samoa, a faraway island in the Pacific Ocean. Emily knew they would not have presents under the tree this year. Her little sister, Faith, was too young to understand that there was no money for presents. Any extra money Mama earned from selling eggs went to help Papa on his mission. Emily turned to Mama. Mama's eyes looked sad and worried. Was she thinking about Christmas too?
It's all right, Mama. I don't need any presents.
Mama smiled, but just a little.
We won't have presents, but we have each other. And we are blessed because Papa is serving Heavenly Father.
Emily wrapped her arms around Mama's waist.
That's enough for me.
The day before Christmas, Mama baked cookies using some extra sugars she had bought with egg money. Emily and Faith decorated the cookies with raisins and peppermint pieces. There would be delicious Christmas treats. But Emily knew Faith would still be sad not to have any real presents this year. As Emily got ready for bed that night, she picked up her doll, Sarah. Sarah had a beautiful dress and a real china face with painted eyes, nose, and mouth. While Emily held Sarah, she suddenly had an idea. She loved Sarah, but she loved someone else even more. Early Christmas morning, Emily and Faith ran into the front room. Beneath the tree were two plates of cookies, two oranges, and one wrapped package. Mama picked up the brown paper package. She turned it over in her hands.
Faith, it has your name on it.
Faith's eyes grew wide. Eagerly, she tore open the paper. She stared at the doll, then at Emily.
It's Sarah,
Faith said.
But you love her more than anything.
Faith started to hand the doll back to Emily, but Emily shook her head and hugged her sister instead.
I love you more.
Emily saw Mama wipe tears from her eyes.
I'm sorry I don't have anything to give you, Mama,
Emily said in a small voice. Mama smiled, and this time her smile was a big one.
Oh, your gift to Faith is the best present you could have ever given me,
she said, pulling them both into a big hug. Emily, Faith, and Mama sat down at the kitchen table to enjoy their Christmas treats. Emily bit into a cookie. She loved the sweet taste, but the warmth that filled her heart was even sweeter. The author lives in Colorado, USA.
Sidebar. I read one of my little sisters her favorite book, Elizabeth J., age 9, Utah, USA.
End of the story, A Sister's Gift by Jane McBride. Read by Shannon Nelson, Shauna Thompson, Margot and Chloe Patello, and Kristen Hawkins.
The Firecracker. When Elder Dale G. Renlund was 12, his family lived in Sweden. One Sunday, Dale's friend Stefan brought a large firecracker and some matches into the church building. Dale was excited. Dale took the firecracker and lit the fuse. He was going to snuff out the fuse, but he burned his fingers and dropped the firecracker. Dale and Stefan watched in horror as the fuse kept burning. The firecracker exploded. An awful smell filled the chapel. Dale and Stefan quickly picked up the pieces of firecracker and opened the windows to let the smell out. They hoped no one would notice. As people came to sacrament meeting, they did notice. The smell was so strong that people couldn't focus on the meeting. Dale felt very embarrassed and ashamed. He knew that what he had done had disappointed Heavenly Father. After church, President Lindbergh, the branch president, asked Dale to come to his office because he could tell that something was wrong. Dale told President Lindbergh how sorry he was about the firecracker. President Lindbergh was kind. He opened the scriptures and asked Dale to read some underlined verses. Dale read, "Behold, he who has repented of his sins, the same is forgiven, and I, the Lord, remember them no more. By this ye may know, if a man repenteth of his sins, behold, he will confess them and forsake them." When Dale finished reading, he saw President Lindbergh smile. As Dale left the office, he felt happy. Elder Renlund learned that he could be forgiven when he did something wrong. He could feel happy when he repented and kept Heavenly Father's commandments. End of the story, The Firecracker, read by Wes Nelson.
Here are some family home evening ideas from this month's magazine. What other ideas can you come up with? A gift for Jesus. Read A Sister's Gift on page 4. With your family, talk about what makes a gift special. Then try this activity. Step 1. Use a bowl to trace 4 circles. Cut them out. Step 2. Glue the circles together so they meet in the middle. Step 3. Fold each circle down where the edges meet. Step 4. Tuck the edges under each other to close the package. Step 5. You can write a gift you want to give Jesus, like being kind, and put it in your gift box to remember.
Gingerbread people. Make gingerbread people with your family. Use icing to draw a heart on each one so you can remember to share your love this Christmas. Be sure to get an adult's help. You'll need 1/2 cup of softened butter, 3/4 cup of brown sugar, 1/2 cup of molasses, 2 eggs, 3 cups of flour, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of ginger, and 1/2 teaspoon of cloves. Step 1. In a large bowl, Cream the butter and brown sugar. Mix in the molasses and eggs. Step 2. In a separate bowl, stir the flour, baking soda, salt, and spices together. Add it to the first bowl a little at a time, mixing well. Step 3. Divide the dough in half and wrap in plastic wrap. Refrigerate for at least 2 hours. Step 4. On a floured surface, roll out the dough until it's about a quarter inch or 1 centimeter thick. Cut the dough in the shape of people. Step 5. Bake at 350 degrees Fahrenheit or 175 degrees Celsius for 6 to 8 minutes. Let the cookies cool. Decorate and enjoy.
The best gifts. You've been given lots of gifts. Some are from your family or friends, and some are from Heavenly Father. What are some of the best gifts you've received? Here are a few ideas. Fill out the rest. Your body, love, your talents, a favorite toy. Bonus treat. Try this treat for FHE. Be sure to get an adult's help. Put thick banana slices, strawberry halves, and pineapple on a skewer to make a snowman. Use chopped raisins and pieces of carrot to decorate. More FHE ideas. Look for these pictures in the magazine to find the stories and articles they go with. Find the page numbers below. Idea 1. Read Gabriel's Cello. Talk about what talents you have to make people smile. How can you help someone this Christmas? Idea 2. Start your Christmas countdown. How can you follow Jesus' teachings to help others? Read the Christmas List Surprise to see what Samantha D. did. Idea 3. Read the Christmas Eve guests together. How can you reach out to people around you? Elder Piper has some ideas on the friend-to-friend story, too.
End of Family Night Fun. Read by Margot Patello and Wes Nelson.
Friends with Heart. Gabriel's Cello. From an interview with Carrie Salisbury.
Hi, I'm Gabriel. I have a talent that can help people. 1. I practice my cello every day with my dad or my mom. My little brother and sister play instruments too. Playing together is fun. 2. Whenever I see people who don't have homes, I want to help them. My mom and I decided we could use our talents to help. 3. I started learning songs on my cello. I learned 15 Christmas and Hanukkah songs. On Christmas Eve, my mom and I went to a shopping area and played for the shoppers. We had a sign that said, "Tips to benefit the food pantry." 4. I felt a little bit nervous about playing in front of strangers, so I just focused on my songs. We played until my fingers were too cold to play anymore. I was happy when our music made people smile, and lots of them gave us money. 5. We took all the money and gave it to the food pantry. 6. I'm glad I could help, and all I had to do was play songs. I want to do it again next year.
Thanks for your hearts. This year, thousands of children sent us paper hearts telling us how they filled the world with love. Next year, we'll be collecting stars. Find out more in next month's Friend. CTR Challenge. I will only listen to music that is pleasing to Heavenly Father. My Gospel Standards. This Sunday, read the words of a hymn during the sacrament. Sing or listen to a good song with someone in your family. Memorize the words to a primary song. I challenge myself to print cards at ctr2017.lds.org. End of the article, Gabriel's Cello, read by David White and Enzo Patello.
Answers from an Apostle. How can repenting help me feel happy? By Elder Dale G. Renlund of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Repentance means we turn away from sin and turn our hearts to God. Jesus can forgive us because He paid the price for our sins. He wants to forgive us because He loves us. He is happy when we choose to repent. When He forgives us, we can feel happy too. Adapted from Repentance, A Joyful Choice, Ensign, November 2016, pages 121 to 124. End of this section, Answers from an Apostle, How Can Repenting Help Me Feel Happy? By Elder Dale G. Renlon of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. Read by David Shaw.
The Red Ticket by Darcy Jensen Morris. Uh-oh, Daniel was losing another ticket. Based on a true story. Whenever I am good and kind and help someone I see, I feel so very happy. Children's Songbook, page 197. Mateo looked at the math problem on the board and quickly wrote it down in his notebook. Math was his favorite subject, so he really wanted to pay attention. But he could barely hear what Mrs. Santos was saying because his friend Daniel was talking.
I can't wait to play it after school.
Shh, Daniel, I can't hear,
Mateo whispered. But Daniel kept talking. Finally, Mrs. Santos heard him.
Daniel, you're interrupting again. You've already had a warning. Now you need to give me a ticket.
Daniel slowly reached into his desk and handed her a red ticket. His shoulders slumped and he looked down at the floor. Mrs. Santos gave tickets to students who behaved well and followed directions. The students wrote their names on the tickets and put them in a jar each day. But you had to give a ticket back if you misbehaved. Every Friday, Mrs. Santos pulled a ticket out of the jar, and the winner got to choose a prize from the class treasure chest. Daniel had to give a lot of tickets back for talking, so his name wasn't drawn very often. Mateo felt bad that Daniel was losing another ticket. At recess, Mateo ran out to the field to play soccer. He saw Daniel standing alone by the swings. He could tell Daniel was crying. Mateo wanted to help him feel better.
Do you want to play soccer?
Mateo asked. Daniel didn't say anything. Mateo tried to talk to him more, but Daniel just turned away.
Well, I'll be on the playground if you change your mind.
Mateo went to play with his other friends, but he kept thinking about Daniel. Mateo was turning 8 and was going to be baptized soon. He wanted to be like Jesus and be a good friend. Was there something he could do to help Daniel? The next day, the class was reading a story in small groups. But instead of reading, Daniel was tossing his book high into the air. Mateo tried to stop him.
Daniel, we need to read the book, not play with it.
Daniel tossed the book again. Mrs. Santos saw it almost hit the ceiling. She walked over to Daniel and held out her hand for a ticket. Daniel reached into his desk. Panic crossed his face as he kept searching.
Oh no, he must be out of tickets,
Mateo thought. No tickets meant Daniel would have to stay inside for recess. Mateo's mind started racing. What could he do? Then he had a good thought.
Daniel,
Mrs. Santos said,
if you don't have a ticket for me, then...
Mateo took a deep breath.
May I pay for him, Mrs. Santos?
He asked. The class went quiet. No one had ever asked her that before. Mateo wasn't sure what she would say. Mrs. Santos looked surprised. Then she smiled.
You're a very good friend. Yes, you may pay Daniel's ticket for him.
Mateo handed Mrs. Santos one of his tickets.
Thanks, Mateo,
said Daniel.
Sure. Do you want to read together now?
Daniel nodded and picked up his book. As Daniel started reading, Mateo felt warm and happy inside. That good idea had come from the Holy Ghost. Mateo knew that Jesus had wanted him to help Daniel because he loves Daniel. And Mateo felt Jesus' love, too. The author lives in Utah, USA. Jesus paid for us. Mateo paid Daniel's ticket because he cared about him. We can't pay for someone else's sins, but Jesus Christ can. Because he loves us, Jesus paid the price for all of our sins. When we do something wrong, we can repent and be forgiven. Jesus can help us do better.
End of the story, The Red Ticket. Read by Rena Nelson, Kate Strongen, Merrick Straga, and Gabriel Reinwand.
A True Story, written by you. The Christmas List Surprise, by Samantha D., age 12, Utah, USA. One day, I decided to make a Christmas wish list because I was so excited about Christmas. I made a fancy title and used Santa Claus hats as bullet points. My older brother came into the room to print off his list. I didn't really care about his list because mine was going to be so fantastic. Mine had color and Santa Claus hats, and his was only black and white. I wanted a lot of stuff. A pogo stick, pens,
a puppy, a cat, etc. When I was done, I put my list on the fridge. My brother's list was already hanging up. It said, "This year I would like to use half my Christmas money to give to others." I was amazed at what my brother was doing with his Christmas money. I couldn't believe it. My brother, who gets in fights with me a lot, was giving instead of getting. My Christmas list now seems small and almost useless. Maybe I could do the same thing. I would be helping others, and I would feel good about myself. There's a center near my home that helps children. I asked my mom if I could make some blankets for the kids there for Christmas. I hope I can give just like my brother. I learned a lot more than I probably have ever learned about Christmas. Jesus Christ gave his life for us, so why should we not give to others in need? We don't need all our wants. This year, I will think more about Christ and what he did for us than I ever have, and I will focus on giving instead of getting. End of the story, The Christmas List Surprise. Read by Amelie Strongen.
Fun stuff. Find it. This group of friends heard about a nearby town that was having a hard time after a flood. They want to raise money to help kids from that town have a brighter Christmas. Can you find the hidden objects? A book, a paperclip, a banana, a glove, a snowman, a bull, a canoe, a leaf, a piece of pie, a carrot, a sock, a bell, an envelope, a flag, a bracelet, and a paintbrush. End of Fun Stuff, Find It. Read by Shannon Nelson.
The House of the Lord. What Happens After a Temple is Built? By Amy Jane Levitt. 1. Open House. During the open house, anyone is welcome to go inside the temple on a free tour. Visitors get to see all of the beautiful rooms in the temple and feel the special feeling inside the sacred building. The St. George, Utah Temple was the first to have an open house. It lasted just one day. Now open houses last several weeks. 2. Cultural Celebration. The evening before the dedication, the youth in the area share music, dance, and stories about their culture. Families, friends, and church leaders come to the performance. The first cultural celebration was held before the dedication of the Accra, Ghana Temple in January 2004. 3. Cornerstone. On the day of the dedication, general authorities put mortar around the temple cornerstone in a special ceremony. Then children and other adults are often invited to help. 4. Dedication. Now it's time for the temple to be dedicated to the Lord. Only church members ages 8 and older with a recommend attend the dedication. Church leaders give talks about temples, and then the prophet or an apostle gives the prayer to dedicate the temple. When the Salt Lake Temple was dedicated, people crowded outside the building just to be nearby. Why were people so excited for this event? Maybe because it took 40 years to build this temple. At the end of a dedication, everyone sings "The Spirit of God." This song was written for the Kirtland Temple dedication and has been sung at every temple dedication since. Now the temple is dedicated. It is ready for families and others to come and worship. End of the article, The House of the Lord, read by Chloe Hopper.
Friend to Friend. Be brave and share. From an interview with Jill Hacking by Elder Paul B. Piper of the 70. Our family has lived in many places all over the world. We have met lots of different people and had many chances to share the gospel. Our children have blessed others by sharing their testimonies. When our children were young, we lived in the country of Kazakhstan. There were no missionaries there at that time. When friends or neighbors wanted to hear about the gospel, we got to be the missionaries. Our daughter, Marne, shared the gospel with her friend, Alyona. Alyona decided to be baptized with permission from her mother, who was later baptized with Alyona's younger sister. Recently, Alyona married a righteous young man in the Manhattan, New York temple, and Marne got to be there. She was so happy that she had helped her friend learn about Jesus Christ. When we lived in Virginia, USA, our son Chris was in primary. one of Chris's friends and his family started meeting with the missionaries. Chris helped teach the family. He prepared before each lesson and helped answer their questions. The family decided to be baptized. After that, Chris never worried if he could serve a mission. He knew he could do it. Another time, a man came to work on our house. My wife thanked him when he was done. "We'd like to give you a gift," she said. She gave him a copy of the Book of Mormon. The man became upset. He didn't understand what we believe. He thought we didn't believe in Jesus Christ. Chris was brave and shared his testimony with the man. Chris said he was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He said he believed in Jesus. Many of Heavenly Father's children don't know about the gospel. Others don't realize that we believe in Jesus. These people need someone who will be kind and talk to them. We can be brave and share our testimonies. We can help others learn about Jesus Christ. End of the article, Be Brave and Share, from an interview with Jill Hacking, by Elder Paul B. Piper of the 70, read by Van Farnworth.
No Room in the Inn, by Marnie G. Rainier, based on a true story. I was starting to worry we'd never find a place to stay. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. I stared out the car window, watching for a hotel. We had started looking for one when the sun was still up. Now it was getting dark, and we still hadn't found a place to stay. They were all full. Just then, my sister Katie poked me and pointed out the window.
"Look, Eliza, I see one."
I sat up straighter. My eyes fell on the big, bold letters lit up on the sign. No vacancy. Dad frowned.
That one doesn't have any empty rooms. We'll have to try the next town.
I was starting to worry that we'd never find a place to stay, so I said a quiet little prayer. When I was done, I didn't feel quite so worried. Somehow, things would work out. Soon, Mom spotted another hotel. I looked around at the full parking lot. Would there be room for us here?
"I don't see a no vacancy sign. Let's try it,"
Dad said.
"Can I come in with you, Dad?"
Katie asked. Annie and Sarah peeked their heads over the back seat.
"Us too?"
"Sure. How about you, Eliza?"
I nodded, and we all piled out and followed Dad across the dark parking lot.
"Aw, no pool,"
Annie said, looking around. When we got to the office, Sarah stretched her hand up to the counter and rang the bell. A lady came to the front desk. She was nice, but she told us that all the rooms were full. I dragged my feet as we trooped back out to the Jeep. When would Heavenly Father answer my prayer?
"No room again, huh?"
Mom asked.
"Nope, but I got to ring the bell,"
said Sarah.
"Oh, this is starting to feel like Mary and Joseph trying to find somewhere to stay in Bethlehem,"
said Mom.
"There just isn't room for us."
"Don't worry. Something will work out. We should say a prayer."
"I already did," I said. "Heavenly Father helped Mary and Joseph. He can help us find a place to sleep, too."
"And maybe the next one will have a pool,"
Annie added hopefully as Dad started the car. Soon, Dad found another hotel and pulled into the parking lot. My heart jumped. This one might be the answer to my prayer.
It has a no vacancy sign, but I'll go ask just in case.
Dad was gone for a long time. By the time he got back, I was nearly asleep. I thought I must be dreaming when I heard him say,
"We'll stay here."
"Really?" I asked. "What about the no vacancy sign?"
"The manager said his family owns a nice little camper that's behind the hotel. He said we could sleep there."
The camper was old but clean. There wasn't a lot of room, but everyone had a place to sleep. Mom and Dad shared the bed with Sarah. The table folded down to make another bed for Katie. Annie and I slept on the floor. It was just right. Like the stable was just right for Mary and Joseph, and the manger was just right for the new baby Jesus. Before I fell asleep, I said a little prayer. "Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for helping us find a room. It's perfect." The author lives in Utah, USA.
Sidebar. Prayer is a gift from God.
We need never feel lost or alone. Sister Carol R. McConkie, First Counselor in the Young Women General Presidency.
End of the story, No Room in the Inn, read by Amelie Strongen, Ben White, Margot Patello, Shannon and Rena Nilsson, Jane Wise, and Maya Reinwand.
Light the World. Each day, read something that Jesus taught, and then think about how you can follow his teaching. Then color in the star. December 1st. Freely ye have received, freely give. Matthew 10:8. December 2nd. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. Matthew 25:35. December 3rd. Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Matthew 12:12. December 4th. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 22:39. December 5th. Honor thy father and mother. Matthew 15:4. December 6th. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Matthew 7:1. December 7th. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Mark 10:14. December 8th. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Matthew 5:44. December 9th. I was sick, and ye visited me. Matthew 25:36. December 10th. Search the Scriptures. John 5:39. December 11th. If ye love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. December 12th. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5:4. December 13th. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Matthew 7:12. December 14th. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6:21. December 15th. Blessed are the merciful. Matthew 5:7. December 16th. I was naked, and ye clothed me. Matthew 25:36. December 17th. Ye shall meet together oft. 3 Nephi 18:22. December 18th. Forgive men their trespasses. Matthew 6:14. December 19th. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Matthew 5:12. December 20th. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Luke 12:15. December 21st. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. Matthew 25:35. December 22nd. That which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. 3 Nephi 27:21. December 23rd. Blessed are all the peacemakers. 3 Nephi 12:9. December 24th. Ye must watch and pray always. 3 Nephi 18:15. December 25th. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Find more about the teachings of Jesus Christ at mormon.org during December. End of the article, Light the World, read by Eden Reinwand.
Show and Tell Christmas. A jar of money was left on our doorstep with a red bow around it to help my family with our Christmas. It made me feel happy, so I thought, how could I help someone else have a special Christmas? I decided to give my new pretty hair bows to a girl in my neighborhood, Sawyer S., age 5, Colorado, USA.
There was a new boy on our bus getting teased. I asked him to come sit by us, and soon we were laughing and having fun together. Later that day, I realized it was a day of service for hashtag Light the World. Daxton J., age 9, Utah, USA.
My school donated blankets to children during the holidays. We decided to make our blanket for a family home evening. It was fun. Lincoln R., age 5, Iowa, USA.
For the hashtag Light the World project, each member of our family wrote down on a light bulb what we did each day. It helped us to think more about the true meaning of Christmas. Stuart, Rebecca, and Thomas E., ages 3, 4, and 6, Oregon, USA.
Our family gets together to make a special gingerbread building for the Christmas season. It's fun, and we like to help by eating it. Roderick and Daphne M., ages 4 and 5, Washington, USA.
Joshua F., age 8, Missouri, USA, said, I built a nativity out of blocks to be a part of our ward's display of over 500 nativities. Members of the community came and celebrated the Christmas season at our church.
My great-grandma didn't have a Christmas tree, so we brought her one, and I made the ornaments for it. Annabelle F., age 4, Florida, USA.
Other contributors to show and tell. Paul L., age 9, Kansas, USA. Tessa T., age 10, Omori, Japan. Ava M., age 9, Northern Region, New Zealand. Julia K., age 10, Idaho, USA. Benjamin W., age 8, Texas, USA. Elijah and Everett K., ages 9 and 6, Utah, USA. Find more art online at childart.lds.org. Watch a video about the hearts you send in. Go to friend.lds.org during December. End of show and tell for December 2017.
Matt and Mandy. In this month's installment, Matt and Mandy are listening to their dad read about Jesus' birth in the New Testament.
Because there was no room for them in the inn.
Mandy remarks,
that part always makes me sad.
Matt adds,
me too.
Did you know Jesus is still waiting for people to let him in?
He is? You mean like, let him into our lives?
But how? Oh, by trying to be more like him.
And doing what he's asked us to.
End of Matt and Mandy.
As a special gift, turn the page for a new song you can sing and share. Merry Christmas.
For older kids, brain teaser. What word becomes shorter when you add two letters to it? See page 39. Think about it. Humility is essential to gain the blessings of the gospel. Elder Stephen E. Snow of the 70. Dear Journal, what Christmas traditions does your family have? Draw a picture of your favorite one. My haiku. The first principle of the gospel, simple faith in our Savior Jesus Christ. Aiden C., age 8, Washington, USA. Secret Service. Bring a holiday treat to a friend or a neighbor. Quick quiz. What direction did the wise man come from? Hint. See Matthew 2:1. Answer on page 39. North, east, south, or west? Ella M., age 10, Idaho, USA, says, my family reads the Book of Mormon and prays every day before school and work. During the day, I always think of the scriptures that we read. It also seems like I have more time to get ready for school in the day. End of the article, For Older Kids, read by Chloe Patello.
Signs of Friendship by Amy Christensen and Ashley Barnett. I have called you friends. John chapter 15, verse 15.
Mom, how can I find a friend?
Connor asked. He watched Mom put down her book.
Well, there are lots of ways. Did you try what we talked about? Smiling at people and talking about your hobbies?
Nothing works.
Connor sat on the couch by Mom and twisted his hands together.
I just want a friend, someone who understands me and will be kind to me.
Connor was feeling sad and lonely, more every day. He had autism, and it was hard finding a friend who was nice to him.
I'm so sorry. I know it's been hard without friends for so long, especially with the bullies at school. Did you try praying about it?
No.
Connor sighed. Mom smiled.
Sometimes friends find us, and sometimes we have to find them.
She put her arm around Connor.
When I was younger, I was really lonely too. I prayed for 2 years, and then I found a very special friend.
Connor's back straightened.
Who did you find? Was it Jamie?
Mom nodded.
I prayed and looked for someone and found Jamie.
She's your best friend.
Connor felt happier inside. If Mom found a friend by praying, maybe he could too. When he said his prayers that night, he prayed to find someone who also needed a friend. Connor looked for a friend at school. He looked at the grocery store. He looked at church. And he kept praying. Connor was walking home one day and saw kids playing outside. They were his new neighbors, the ones who just moved in with their dad and stepmom. Connor didn't know them very well. One of the boys, Seth, was deaf. He went to a sign language ward for church. No one else in the neighborhood knew sign language.
It must be hard for Seth to feel like he doesn't have friends to talk to,
Connor thought.
Wait, Seth needs a friend just like I do.
Connor found some books at the library about sign language. He practiced everywhere he could. He practiced in the bathroom mirror. He practiced in the car. Soon Connor could sign lots of words. Then one day, Connor knocked on Seth's big front door. He held a notebook and a sign language book under his arm. When Seth came to the door, Connor put his hand to his forehead. He kept his fingers close and then moved his hand out, like a salute. Connor had learned that was how to sign hello. Seth made the sign too. He smiled a little bit. He pointed at the sign language book and raised his eyebrows. Connor signed,
I'm learning sign language.
Then he opened the notebook and wrote,
Can you teach me more?
Seth's smile got bigger. He waved Connor inside and they sat in the family room together. They signed back and forth for a few minutes. Connor wrote down questions on the notebook, and Seth wrote his answers below. Seth taught Connor a bunch of new signs. Pretty soon the notebook page was filled. Connor couldn't believe it. He was learning sign language with his new friend. After a few weeks, Connor and Seth didn't need books or papers anymore. They learned how to understand each other, and they both liked having a kind friend.
Mom, I did what you told me to do,
Connor said one night after getting back from Seth's house.
I prayed to find someone who needed a friend and would be mine too. Seth was the one I found.
The authors live in Utah, USA.
End of the story, Signs of Friendship, read by Kate Strongen, Hilary Straga, and Ethan Nelson.
Snacks and Crafts, Christmas Workshop. Be sure to get an adult's help. Sticky Shepherd by Val Chadwick Bagley. Step 1. Glue a cotton ball to the top of a large craft stick. Step 2. Cover the cotton ball with a small piece of fabric and tie a string around it to make the shepherd's hat. Step 3. Wrap another piece of fabric around the craft stick and tie a string around the middle to make the shepherd's clothes. Step 4. Draw two eyes and glue on a cotton ball beard. Step 5. Bend a pipe cleaner into a crook and slide it into the shepherd's belt. Try making some cotton ball sheep to go with it. Snow painting. Make colorful artwork in the snow. Here's how. Fill a few plastic bottles with water. Squeeze 8 to 10 drops of food coloring into the water. Use a different color for each bottle. Take the bottles outside and pour the colored water into the snow. Try painting clothes onto a snowman. Or use chalk to draw colorful snowmen on the sidewalk. Perfect paper snowflake. For instructions on building a perfect paper snowflake, go to page 34 of this issue. Warm vanilla steamer. Tired of hot chocolate? Try this yummy vanilla drink. Heat 4 cups of milk and 1/4 cup sugar in a small saucepan over medium heat until steaming. Stir in 1 tablespoon vanilla extract and whisk until frothy. Cucumber wreaths. With an adult's help, slice a cucumber into 1-inch, 2-centimeter pieces. Scoop out some of the inside with a spoon to make a bowl and fill it with cream cheese, sour cream, or ranch dressing. Sprinkle finely chopped green veggies around the rim. Finish with a bow made from bell pepper. End of this month's Snacks and Crafts, read by Hilary Straga.
The Christmas Eve Guest by Holly K. Worthington, based on a true story. It was always the best night of the year, Now it would be ruined. Sing the carols of the Christ child. Let your neighbors know you care. From Children's Songbook, page 51. Shannon loved her family's Christmas Eve traditions. First, they ate fried rice and dumplings at their favorite Chinese restaurant. Then they drove around the city to look at the Christmas lights. When they got home, they read the Christmas story from the Bible together. And before bed, they got to open one present each. It was Shannon's favorite night of the year. She could hardly wait until Mom made an announcement.
We're having a special Christmas Eve guest this year. Remember Miss Reed?
Shannon groaned.
The neighbor Dad invited to church last week?
That's right. Dad's picking her up now.
Shannon plopped into a chair. How could she relax and have fun with a stranger around? Christmas Eve was ruined. Well, Miss Reed hadn't come to church when Dad invited her. Maybe she wouldn't come this time either. But when Dad came through the door, the special guest was with him. Miss Reed looked tired and kind of sad. Shannon said hello, but she didn't want to say anything else. At dinner, she just focused on her food while Mom and Dad chatted with Miss Reed.
Have you ever taken dance lessons?
Asked a soft voice. Shannon saw that Miss Reed was waiting for her to answer. She nodded and looked back down at her plate.
Me too,
said Miss Reed, her voice still quiet.
What's your favorite dance style?
Shannon shrugged, poking at a dumpling with her chopsticks.
I love jazz,
Miss Reed said.
I was on a dance team in college. One year we traveled all over Europe. It was amazing.
Shannon looked up. That did sound amazing.
What else do you like?
Miss Reed gave a small smile.
Playing the piano and math.
Shannon's eyes got big.
Really? Math is my favorite subject.
Shannon talked to Miss Reed for the rest of dinner. She found out that Miss Reed had a college degree in math and was studying to become a math professor when she met her husband. He had made some bad choices and was now in prison. After dinner, Shannon sat by Miss Reed while they drove around to look at the Christmas lights. And when they read the Christmas story, she shared her scriptures with Miss Reed so she could follow along. Soon it was time to open presents. Shannon got some cozy purple pajamas. She couldn't wait to put them on. But she felt a little bad that Miss Reed didn't have a present. Just then, Mom handed a gift to Miss Reed. Miss Reed smiled shyly and unwrapped a pair of dark blue socks. She looked up at Mom with watery eyes.
Thank you. You really didn't need to get me anything.
Shannon went to her bedroom and put on her new pajamas. She couldn't stop thinking about Miss Reed. She seemed so grateful to get socks for Christmas. As Shannon slipped her own fuzzy socks on, she heard beautiful music begin to play. She ran downstairs to find Mom and Dad singing carols while Miss Reed played the piano. Shannon joined in. As she sang, a warm feeling grew in her heart.
I guess it's not so bad to have a guest on Christmas Eve,
she thought. On Sunday, Miss Reed came to church and sat with Shannon's family during sacrament meeting. She looked really happy. Shannon smiled as she shared her hymn book with Miss Reed. Maybe it was time to add a new Christmas Eve tradition. The author lives in Idaho, USA.
Sidebar. I show love to my neighbor who lives alone by visiting her and drawing her pictures. Jill K., age 10, California, USA.
End of the story, The Christmas Eve Guest. Read by Wes, Rena, and Shannon Nelson, and Jane Wise.
A true story written by you. Prayer at the Start Gate. By Noah G., age 10, Utah, USA. It was a cold day, and I was scared. I shook hard in my speed suit. It was my first ski race since I had been injured. The course was a long blur of blue and red gates. My coach skied by me. Noah, are you okay? She asked. Yes, I said, but I was actually scared out of my skin. It was time for me to be at the start gate. Oh no, I thought as I skied down to the start gate. But then I remembered something I had learned in primary. I can pray anytime, anywhere. So I prayed, Heavenly Father, please help me to be safe and do well. Right then, I pushed out of the start. What came next was natural instinct. Left, then right, gate after gate for what felt like days until I finally crossed the finish line. Boy, I was slow. I thought, but I looked at the timer. I was 12th in my category. That was so good, Mom said. During the excitement, I silently thanked my Heavenly Father for answering my prayer. End of the story, Prayer at the Start Gate, read by Ethan Nelson.
For parents of little ones, your little ones will feel something special this season when you give them the most meaningful gift of all, your testimony of the Savior. Here are some ideas. To make a child-friendly nativity set, glue drawings or illustrations from church magazines to cardboard or blocks. Let your child play with the set while you read about the nativity from the scriptures. See Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. Make a paper chain countdown. On the links, write the titles of songs that tell the story of Jesus' birth. Listen to or sing one song each night. Light candles at dinner or sit around the Christmas tree before bedtime. Point out that we feel warm, peaceful, and happy when we think about Jesus. Remind your little ones about whose birthday we celebrate on Christmas and what we often do for birthdays. We give. Help your family simplify their wish list by reading the story of the wise men. How many gifts did Jesus receive? The wise men brought a few thoughtful gifts filled with love. End of the article, For Parents of Little Ones, read by Ben Cummins.
Action rhyme, Away in a Manger. Away in a manger, no crib for his bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the heavens looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Children's Songbook, pages 42 and 43. End of the action rhyme, Away in a Manger, read by Shannon Nelson.
Skylar's Nativity by Jennifer Maddy. It's almost time for the nativity play. Skylar polishes a wise man's crown. He helps put hay in the manger. He helps the sheep. He puts on his costume. Skylar loves celebrating Jesus' birth. End of Skylar's Nativity, read by Sean Nelson.
Stories of Jesus. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, by Kim Webb Reed. An angel came to Mary and told her that God was happy with her. She was going to be Jesus' mother. Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem. It was almost time for Jesus to be born. So many people were visiting Bethlehem that Mary and Joseph couldn't find a room to stay in. An innkeeper let them stay in a stable. Soon Jesus was born. A bright new star appeared to tell everyone that the light of the world had come to earth. An angel told some shepherds that Jesus was born. They hurried to see the baby Jesus lying in a manger. Jesus came to earth because he loves me. I will follow his light this Christmas and all year. End of Stories of Jesus. Jesus Was Born in Bethlehem by Kim Webb Reed. Read by Kate Strongen.
Warm Hands, Warm Heart by Wendy Ellison, based on a true story. The recess bell rang. Monroe and her friends put on their coats. They hurried outside to play. It was winter. It was cold. Monroe put on her fuzzy pink gloves. She was glad she had gloves to keep her hands warm. Monroe and her friends had fun on the swings and the slippery slide. But Monroe saw that some of her friends weren't wearing gloves. Their hands were red and cold. She wished she had gloves for their hands, too. After school, Monroe had an idea. She asked Mom,
"Can I take extra gloves to school tomorrow?"
"Why?"
Mom asked.
"Some of my friends didn't have gloves today. They can borrow mine to keep their hands warm."
"Well, that's a nice thing to do,"
Mom said. They found all the gloves they could. They put them in Monroe's backpack. The next day at recess, Monroe shared the gloves with her friends. It was still cold outside, but the gloves kept their hands warm.
Monroe was happy to share her gloves. As she played, her hands felt warm. And now her heart did too. The author lives in Utah, USA. End of the story, Warm Hands, Warm Heart. Read by Kara McClellan, Shannon Nelson, and Maya Reinwand.